My name is Gong, and I'm from UC Santa Barbara. Today, I'm going to talk about using clickstreams for civil detection in social networks. This is a joint work with my colleagues and advisors from UC Santa Barbara, Northeastern University, and also Renren Corporation. So, civils are basically fake accounts or fake identities in social networks. Today, attackers use civil accounts to do all kinds of malicious attacks. So for example, this is a friend request from a civil account. I received this friend request several days ago on Facebook. Now, the interesting part is that this civil already has 20 mutual friends with me, which is very impressive because a lot of people probably just accept a friend request because of those mutual friends. Now, today, there are lots of civils currently in social networks, on Facebook and Twitter. There are tens of millions of them. Well, civils, it's well known that civils will send social spam. Sometimes it's annoying advertisements. Sometimes it could be malicious URLs that lead you to phishing, scam, or malwares. But they can do more than that today. They can do more sophisticated attacks that have real-world impact. So, Taliban today on Facebook are using attractive female profile to befriend with the soldiers and collect military information. And most recently, even the NATO chief has become their target. While on Twitter, civils are increasingly used by political lobbying efforts. So, in many recent political campaigns, you can see the involvement of Twitter civils. So, civil defense, like most of the security problems, is a cat and a mouse game. In the very beginning, social networks deploy the very basic defense, like captures, to stop civils. But what happened is, today, civils can successfully solve captures on real time using crowdsourcing. Also, for a more sophisticated defense, like detecting civil profiles, social networks try all different kind of methods. For example, spam keywords, URL blacklist, user report. But in our recent measurement study, we found that today, attackers can create very realistic, high-quality profiles. Most of those profiles come from malicious crowdsourcing services and are handmade by human beings. You can look at this civil profile. So we found this. It has very complete bio information, lots of photos, lots of friends, and it's hard to use automated methods to detect them. Finally, there's another line of research look at a social graph-based civil community detection. So this line of research started in 2006 and has been continuing for many years. But recently, their measurements show some controversial results in terms of their assumptions, and now let me quickly summarize some of the recent findings in this space. So, most of the graph-based or social graph-based civil detectors relies on a key assumption about civil behaviors. So they basically assume that civils will form, civils will have very much difficulty to friend with the real users. But say attackers have lots of civils, they don't want their civil to look like, very strange with no friends. So what they do? Attackers has to let their civils to friend with each other. So that essentially makes civils to form such tightly connected communities in the social graph. Now, those systems are trying to locate or detect those civil communities. The question is this assumption true in reality? In 2011, we performed some measurement on Renren social network, and we collected large ground truth civils over 3 years, and the result is very surprising. So it turns out that civils can successfully friend with real users, and they can infiltrate into real users' communities. So that means they don't have to friend with each other. So because civils don't need to form civil communities in the social graph, those civil detectors cannot successfully catch them. We also found some software available in the market that helps civils to friend with real users. If you still remember the first example I just showed you in the first slides, civils could have lots of mutual friends with you. That means they can successfully infiltrate in the real user community around you. So far, I talk about social graph-based civil detector and other detection techniques. So because those systems may not always work, so we need to develop new ways for civil detection. So here is a recent prior work. We look at a static profile analysis using crowdsourcing. The idea is actually pretty straightforward. So we receive friend requests all the time from civils, and when we open their profiles, we can use our human intuition, our experience, to tell this is a fake. Now, the question here is, can we make this human intuition a large-scale tool for civil detection? So we perform a large user study to validate whether human can successfully identify fake accounts in social networks, and the result is very positive. We can actually build a crowdsourcing system to flag suspicious users in large scale and with high accuracy. So this crowdsourcing approach can, you know, deal with most of the civil profiles, but there are some special cases that are still very hard to address. For example, say I'm a LinkedIn attacker and I want to create a fake profile, for example, for Google CEO Larry Page. This is actually not that hard because you can easily find some background information, some, you know, personal information about him, and fill in a LinkedIn profile. Now, this profile would just look like his real one because the information is true. So those type of clone profile is hard to be addressed using crowdsourcing method. So what do we do here now? In this work, we look at something fundamentally different regarding the civil detection. We'll look at how users use the social networks. So we'll look at how they browse the social network pages and how they click on those pages, and essentially build user behavior models for civil detection. So we'll look at click streams. Click stream is a server-side data that record a user's click events when they use the social networks. For example, when you use the social network, whenever you open a profile page, whenever you click on a photo, or you leave your comments for your friends, all those actions will generate click events on the server side. Now, each click event is characterized by a user ID, an event description, and also a timestamp. So we use clickstream data to differentiate civils from normal users because intuitively, civil and normal users will act very differently. So the difference could come from two perspectives. So first, when civils use social networks, when civil use social networks, they usually have a purpose. So the purpose could be collecting user data, could be sending a bunch of friend requests, or sending spam. So no matter what the purpose is, they will be focused on those specific actions that are related to those purposes. And so it is very unlikely that a civil will click some random photos or have a nice conversation with their friends, those type of things. On the other hand, another difference is that a civil cares about their efficiency. That means they don't want to waste time on the social networks. So whenever they have a chance, they will try to minimize the in-arrival time of their clicks. So in this work, we try to analyze ground truth click streams and build user behavior models for civil detection. So in the next part of the talk, I will talk about our user behavior model, which is essentially a similarity graph built on click streams. So the graph can capture similarities and differences between click streams, and we can use the graph structure to build approximate models for user behaviors. So once we have this model, in the next part of the talk, I will talk about how we deal with real-time civil detection. So to start with, let me quickly describe our ground truth data used in our users in our study. So the data comes from a RenRen social network, a large social network in China, which is essentially the Chinese Facebook. So we gather ground truth directly from RenRen company. So their security team provided us with 16,000 users, including both civils and normal users, and also their clickstream data over 2 months in 2011. We make sure that all the user ID in the data set have been already anonymized before giving to us. We're going to use this data set to understand civil click patterns and also validate our behavior model. So let's perform some basic analysis on the ground truth data set to give you some intuition about how users behave. So this is a transition diagram. The diagram shows how users transition from one action to another action when they browse the social network. This diagram is from normal users' data. So you can see normal users are doing all different kind of things on the social network, and the transition from one thing to another is basically all over the place. But if you look at the Sybil's diagram, so it's very different. So Sybil's diagram is relatively simpler. So if you take a closer look, you can also recognize some of the attacks. For example, there's a big concentration around friend invitation. So this is the typical behavior of spammers. Also, Sybil's concentrated on browsing user profiles. This is a typical behavior of crawlers who want to harvest the user data. So basically, Sybils are focused on specific a few events that are related to their purposes. And the takeaway is that Sybil and Anomo users have very different click patterns. So what we can do is actually use the differences between user click streams to actually identify Sybils from normal users. So here, what we need is a way to quantify this difference in their click streams. So what we do is basically map user click streams into a similarity graph. Now, each click stream is a node, and the edge weights can indicate how similar the two click streams are. So we can use this graph to generate clusters that have similar click streams. Now, this cluster could represent a certain way that a user behaves. It's a typical behavior pattern. So because Sybils and Anomo users will behave very differently, so in hypothesis, Sybils and Anomo users will fall into different behavior clusters. So we can confirm this hypothesis in our evaluation part. So let me show you how this works. So we start from the click streams, and we map user click streams into a similarity graph. So each node is a user's click stream, and the edges are weighted based on similarity. Now, because the edges are weighted on similarity, we can partition this graph using minimal edge weight cut and generate a bunch of clusters. So these clusters will contain similar click streams, and those clusters could be approximate models for users' behaviors. So with some ground truth, we can label those clusters. So, for example, if a cluster contains most click streams or Sybil click streams, so it's likely that this cluster represents a typical Sybil behavior, and we label it as a Sybil cluster. Similarly, we can label good clusters if it represents a typical normal user's behavior. So once we have those behavior clusters, now we can use them for Sybil detection. So basically, you can classify new click streams into either Sybil or Anomo users. So now let me give some details regarding the steps to build this model. So the key of this model is to construct the similarity graph. So the first step is to capture user click streams from the data. Here there are different ways. The most straightforward way is to use the click events. So essentially, a click stream is a sequence of click events. Alternatively, we can use the interval time to represent a click stream. And finally, we can combine user click events and interval time into a complete model, which is essentially a sequence of click events with the interval time in between. So in our paper, we experimented with all three models, and we found the complete model is a more accurate representation of click streams. So in this talk, we're focused on the complete model. Now we have click streams. So in order to build this similarity graph, we need to compute the weights for the edges, which is essentially the similarity between any two click streams. So because the click streams are essentially sequences, here we can use the common subsequence as a metric to quantify their similarity. So let's look at this very simple example. So for each sequence, we can compute its n-grams. So n-gram is basically n consecutive tokens in the sequence. So n could be 1, n could be 2, 3. So by iterating n with the different values, we could find all the subsequences. Now, the similarity is based on how many common subsequences you have with another click stream. Alternatively, we can use a more advanced way to compute the similarity. That is, count how many times you say this subsequence shows up in this click stream. And now this count could be part of the click similarity metric. So as you remember, in our complete model, we have interarrival time as part of the clickstream data. So here we need to bucketize the interarrival time into symbols and encode them into the sequence. So once we can transfer everything into sequences, we could apply the same sequence similarity function on the clickstreams. Obviously, I cannot cover all the details regarding this in this talk. So if you're interested, please see our paper. Now we can finally construct this similarity graph. Basically, because the edges are weighted based on similarity, we can apply the minimal edge weight cut to partition this graph into behavioral clusters. So here we use Mattis, a very popular graph partitioning tool, to run the partitioning and to generate the behavioral clusters. So in order to validate our model, we use our ground truth data to build a similarity graph and around the partitioning. So the result shows that the complete model can produce very accurate behavioral clusters. So essentially, this completed model can separate Sybils and normal users into different behavioral clusters, and the error rate is only 1 to 3%. So now, with this model, we can run real-time Sybil detection. So assume we already have those clustered similarity graph, which is essentially a bunch of behavioral clusters. So we can use them to classify new clickstreams. So what we do is essentially assign new clickstreams into the nearest cluster. So if the nearest cluster is a Sybil cluster, then the user is a Sybil. Otherwise, the user can be classified as a normal user. Obviously, we have different ways to assign clickstreams into the cluster. So here are three of them. The nearest cluster with the center is the faceted algorithm, and it's also the scalable one. Now, to evaluate the system, we use our ground truth to basically split the ground truth into training and testing data set. And we first build a similarity graph with the ground truth in the training data set, and then use the model to classify the clickstreams in the testing data set. So here are the result. As you can see, all the three methods can produce a very accurate result with less than 0.7 percentage of false positive rate and only about 3% of false negative rate. And we also found that the fastest algorithm is actually very accurate. You know, it's as good as the other two. So now we have a practical question. So what if we don't have a big ground truth data set? So here what we need is a way to label those clusters. So here's a simple solution. So what we can do is basically use a small set of good users to color those good clusters. So those good users could be social network employees or verified accounts in social networks. Then we can add those known good clickstreams into the existing clusters. So if any cluster contains those good clickstreams, we can mark them as good cluster, and the rest will be Sybil cluster. So because we only have few behavior clusters, now the number of good users we need to perform this is actually small. So based on our ground truth, we only need 400 random good users to successfully color all the behavior clusters. And in practical scenarios for unknown data set, we can keep adding good users until we can no longer find new good clusters. We also shows that this approach does not harm the overall accuracy. So for more details about this semi and supervised approach, please see our paper. So far, we used the ground truth data set to build up the research prototype. Now, what we really want to do here is try to use fresh data in large social networks to test the system. Luckily, we convinced our collaborators at RenRen and LinkedIn to use our code. So we ship our code to their security teams, and they run the code on their private data and private networks. So of course, we don't have access to those data and the results, but they give us some feedbacks. So in LinkedIn, the code scanned about 40,000 ground truth click streams, and the overall feedback is very positive. So LinkedIn people say this is very useful, and they also say we flagged about 200 previously unknown symbols from their normal user set. On RenRen, they run this differently. They basically throw the system to a large, big chunk of click streams of 1 million users, and our system flagged about 22,000 suspicious users. So the interesting part is that RenRen told us we also flagged a new type of attack. So basically, there's a big cluster of symbols that are essentially image spammers. So what they do is basically embed the spam content into images and upload those images into the social network and try to spread them out. Because the spam content were embedded into images, they can easily bypass the existing text-based or URL-based detectors that are running on RenRen. Our system can flag them because their click streams looks very strange. Now, in this talk, we talk about how we use the user click stream data to build the behavior model for symbol detection. We basically show it is feasible and it's practical in real cases. Now, once we deploy the system, we believe symbols will try to adapt. So this is a part of the cat and mouse game. From the symbol's perspective, in order to invade the system, symbols needs to, one, click slower, two, they need to generate normal user's click events as a cover traffic. So if you think about this, this essentially forces symbol to act like normal user. So what we're doing here is essentially taming the beast. So because symbols are limited by their slow click rate and the amount of cover traffic they need to generate, is unlikely they're going to be very efficient. So unlikely be very successful. So in order to deploy the system, there are still some practical challenges. For example, how to update the user behavior model over time and how to do the model updating incrementally. Another challenge is to integrate the system with other existing symbol detectors in social networks. And for example, especially those that are complementary with our system. So once we do that, we can further improve the accuracy and better protect the social network users. So I will stop here. Thank you for your attention, and I'm glad to take questions.
So I'm curious how you figure out how many clusters to partition a graph into, right? Because that would, in some sense, you need to have some prior knowledge of what percentage of users are expected to be Sybil users to determine the costs in the partitioning algorithm.
I think that's a good question. So so I think the question is about how we decide how many clusters we need in this model, because this is a trade-off here. So you don't want this cluster to be too big, because Sybils, even they are Sybils, they have different behavior patterns. For example, you don't want to have a big cluster for everything. They have, you know, friendly crawler, they have other type of Sybils. So also, you don't want the cluster to be too small. So if it's too small, that will lose the generality. So in our paper, we actually experimented with different different numbers of clusters and how did they affect the accuracy. So we shows that approximately you need several hundreds of 100 to 200 clusters in order to make a good trade-off.
But shouldn't you be specifying number of nodes per cluster as opposed to number of clusters? So, and again, that would depend on how many Sybils you expect to see, right? So it might work for one data set, but work very poorly for another data set.
That is true. So you were saying if we change our data set, we need to re-specify the
clusters.
Because
this is an unsupervised algorithm. Although you have ground truth, in general, when I start doing it on my own social network, mm-hmm. I won't have the ground truth. And so it has to be an unsupervised technique. And
well, I think in that case, we need to basically. Okay, so in that case, I think what we actually did on the random social network is try to use the ground truth to basically has a small ground truth to get a sense of different typical type of these number of behavioral clusters you probably should need in this model, and then you can use this practice number to generate these behavioral clusters.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Do we still have time? So you seem to suggest that the click speed is really a bottleneck for the Sybil. But I suppose it only matters when one person is trying to have a huge number of Sybils.
Mm-hmm.
But can the click be parallelized? Like if they do it sequential, then the click speed is really bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have 10,000, I do a first click for everyone, come back, second click.
I think this is an observation we actually observed in our ground truth data. So as I said, we have three models. One is a click event, one is inter-arrival time. So the model that only consider the inter-arrival time, so as you said, is only consider time. So we found that this model actually is not that accurate because some Sybils will try to slow down themselves and try to look like a normal user. So intuitively, it's a lot of Sybils that are controlled by a single attacker. They can basically deliver the spam traffic, even if they cloak slower. But again,
second part will rely on them not actually behaving like people. Right.
Yes. So this is why we need a complete model that also take consideration of the click events.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Sure.
Last one. So in your graphs, you had like A, B, C. Are those A's buttons that were pressed, or are they parts of the site?
The ABC is actually a click event type. So, I can stand there. Okay, so this ABCD is actually not a specific buttons. It's a category of the events. For example, if you click a button on a photos, it does not matter which photo you click on. We can say you click on a photo. So this is a general category of a click event.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.